All right, and welcome to Going Native number 59. I'm Steve Carroll. I'm the dev manager for the Visual C++ team. And we have a new friend today. New friend, introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Will Buick. I'm the PM for C++ mostly project and a little bit of build. I'm working these days mostly on OpenFolder. If you're not familiar with OpenFolder, it's a new feature in Visual Studio 2017. That lets you bring code and projects into the IDE that typically aren't what you would think of as traditional Visual Studio projects.
So like not just a VCX project.
Yeah, so project files and solutions, I'm talking something like Makefile or CMake or whatever build system you've rolled on your own. That's the sort of thing that we want you to be able to work with in OpenFolder in Visual Studio.
Great. So this is like part of our ongoing effort to kind of make Visual Studio the C++ tool for everyone, not just people who are using like the sort of walled garden of you know MSVC traditional projects and builds or compilers even.
Absolutely. There are a ton of open source especially projects that don't necessarily work well in the typical VS ecosystem. And this is sort of to like break that open a little bit to let you get some of these rich IDE features without having to pay the full cost of authoring solution files and project files.
And I think we've seen like out in the wild, you see lots of people like put all these like really wild hacks together to try to like fake up a project system just so they can get IntelliSense or whatever. Yes. And we wanted to like super duper lower the barriers to entry for those kinds of people.
Yeah, instead of authoring a wall of XML, you can author a little bit of JSON here and there and sprinkle it around your project directory and stuff just works.
There's one thing C++ developers love, it's JSON files. Okay, so today we're gonna talk about sort of one corner of the overall OpenFolder thing, our newest one, which is the MinGW work, right? What's MinGW for the folks at home?
So MinGW is minimalist new on Windows.
Okay.
At its most basic core, it's a compiler. It's a derivative of GCC that runs on Windows.
Sort of like a compiler library.
Yeah, it's a lot more. Like usually when people say GCC or when they say MinGW, they're not talking about just okay, I can type GCC on Windows and it'll give me a binary. Really, it's all of the auxiliary build environment that you get with it. So you get all of the bin utils and everything else that you need to actually produce a full executable from, say, a cross-platform project. It also comes with a POSIX build environment, which is great for cross-platform stuff because you can get your build authoring done on Linux or Mac or Unix, and it will just work when you put it into MinGW on Windows. You can use it to target Windows natively. It will also, there are distributions of it, such as MSys, that will lay down a POSIX compatibility layer to actually build POSIX.
As sort of like a runtime that you can use that'll work well on Windows? Is that the idea?
So it basically is a glue layer between the POSIX world and Windows.
Okay, so why would somebody choose MinGW then?
There are a couple of reasons. One, as great as MSVC is, there are some things that it doesn't always work for, especially when a code base has grown up on another platform.
Okay.
You write it for what's there, and what's there a lot of the time is GCC.
I see. So it's sort of like a born in Unix kind of thing, is that?
Yes. It's often much easier to drop an installation of MinGW down on your Windows box rather than port the code to be compilable on multiple compilers.
Right.
One of the other things that you get with GCC, as I alluded to earlier, is all of this machinery around building. So you have this entire POSIX environment. You have an easy way to pull down libraries, everything you need to actually build a real-world project. And again, if you got all this working in your POSIX environment before, now you don't really have to retool anything to get it working on Windows. And then the last reason why you might want to use MinGW is you get the ability to actually build native POSIX applications without much porting at all using that compatibility layer that I was talking about.
So like if you kind of like if we just take like a step up sort of all the different trends of the things that we're working on these days, it's sort of like we're making MSVC be much more conformant to make the sort of barriers to entry there.
Yeah.
But there are things that are not the compiler, right? There's all these other ideas of you know, things that are special about POSIX versus Windows and those sorts of ideas. And this is just a really easy way to take your code from that existing ecosystem, if you have that code, and just quickly bring it to Windows.
Yes, correct.
Which, as much sharing as possible, sort of the right way to think about it?
Yes, as much sharing as possible. Usually you don't have to even change code. You just need to build up enough of this environment in the MinGW shell to get it to build.
Got it. Okay, so I have my MinGW code base, and I'm used to using, I don't know, Vim or whatever, and these tools from the command line, but now I want this sort of full-fledged IDE experience. Mm-hmm. So what do I need to do first? Like, how do I get into this?
So if you're starting from scratch, the first thing you would need to do is to install MinGW.
Okay. Which we're still, even in today, we're expecting you to kind of do however you would have done that.
Yes,
normally.
Because there are a lot of them. How do you install MinGW? Depends a lot on your project. If you're looking for a generic way to do it, a great way to get started is MSys2.
Okay.
That brings down everything you need and sets up all of the little bits. It gives you a package manager, so you can basically, it's not quite apt-get, but similar in that vein, onto the Windows machine to get all your libraries and all your tools and everything you need. However, some projects actually have a specific MinGW distribution that they use, where they've already packaged all that stuff together. So if you're working on an open source project, it will often have Windows instructions, just download this MinGW distribution, and it'll set everything up for you. So you should take a look at the README.
So it's kind of like get yourself going as if you have a MinGW environment, you know, whatever you would have been doing before.
Absolutely.
And now we're going to enlighten that environment with Visual Studio goodness.
Yes. Once you have MinGW on the box, it's super easy. You've git cloned your code or start from scratch. You just go file, open folder, open the folder, and then you are ready to start going.
Maybe that'd be a good transition to maybe we'll show them the demo at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's take a look at the demo.
Okay, so I'm going to give a quick demo now showing off some of the new MinGW features in Visual Studio, show a little bit about how to set it up and how to get it up and running, build and debug and whatnot. So I'm going to open this really simple code base first. You can see my hello.cpp, all it does is print out hello. But I'm going to show you how to build this with MinGW and debug it as well. So the first thing you need to do to get build working is to add a task. So you can do this here. If you click Configure Tasks, it will create this JSON file. And I'm going to copy some stuff into this real quick so you don't have to watch me type. We have two tasks here. The first one will build the code. The second one actually will print out the G++ version to the output window so you know what you're working with. Let me just put this in here real quick. And yep, I messed up the brackets, but that's fine. I think that looks right. Yep, so now we have in this menu, if you right click on any C++ file, you'll see a build option and down here the G++ version task. But before we can use those, we need to tell it where to find MinGW. And I've installed an MSys installation, so you can see that on my disk right here. So to do that, we need to configure our IntelliSense settings. So that creates a cppproperties.json, and that's where you enter all your information about where to find includes and configure your environment. So to use that, you need to put this environment block at the beginning, and that defines the MinGW prefix, which you'll see you'll use later when you're configuring the debugger, and adds MinGW to the path. Oops. And the last thing you want to do in this file, just so that your IntelliSense is a little bit more accurate to what you're actually building with, you can set the IntelliSense mode like this. So that should be enough to build. If we right-click this build, you'll see you should get the output in the output window, build succeeded. And then if we expand this bin folder, we have our executable here. Debugging it is pretty simple. Just right-click debug and launch settings. You'll get to select the debugger. In this case, you want the MinGW GDB debugger. So we'll choose that. It will fill everything out for you using the MinGW prefix environment variable, so you don't have to configure anything there because we've already configured it in the cppproperties.json. And now we should be able to just select a startup item here, helloworld.exe, stick a breakpoint in our C++ file, and debug. And here we go. If we step over that and go back to the console, we see it prints hello to the screen. And that's about it.
Okay, that was super cool. Thanks, Will. So let's talk about, you showed the demo and we saw a lot of things about MinGW, but I actually think it's pretty generalizable, right? Like there are other environments like this?
Yes, absolutely. For instance, one some of our viewers might be familiar with that's very similar to MinGW is Cygwin. It tries to accomplish much of the same thing. It's a GCC or GCC derivative that has package management and new tooling around it. You could pull down a Cygwin environment and wire it up much the same way that you just saw in that demo. Additionally, there are other compilers that you could potentially get this working for. When we did that debugging step that you saw, that applies for any GDB compatible debuggable,
which is the vast majority.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
That are not us.
So, for instance, if you don't need all of that extra libraries and tooling, you could take, for instance, Clang. Should be debuggable that way. You could swap in Clang as the compiler if you want to use Clang instead of GCC or MSVC. Right now, this all takes just a little bit of tweaking in the JSON files, as you saw. We might wire some of these common ones, some of the more common environments up in the future, but we want to make this as flexible as possible because we want whatever compiler your project needs, whatever environment your project needs to build, run, and debug, we want that to work with OpenFolder.
Okay. And if they have any kind of concerns about, or they want, if they want to give us any feedback or any other, you know, feature requests, how do you want that?
If anything doesn't work right, definitely use the feedback tool.
Yeah, the report a problem inside Visual Studio. We promise that stuff comes to us.
Yes, we look at all of it.
Yeah. And your home address?
nice try.
Okay.
There is an email address, though, that I think...
we'll put down at the bottom, and we'll get that for you.
Yeah, so if that works better than the feedback tool.
So this is coming when? This is coming in 15.3.
Correct.
Which is... So we probably should at least take 10 seconds and go through Visual Studio branding, because I know everybody loves to talk about branding on the internet. So Visual Studio 2017, we've had a number of... what we call minor updates, 15.1, 15.2, and actually the one that's about to come out is what we call a foundational update because it's quite a bit larger. It has changes to kind of the core pieces of Visual Studio's APIs as well as our core compiler and toolkit. And so we call that 15.3. Right now, 15.3 is in what we call the preview channel. If you go to the Visual Studio website, and again, we'll have a link down at the bottom of this description telling you how to do this. You can go there and get on what's called the preview channel, and that will pull down the very latest about-to-be-readied version of 15.3. I think at the time that we post this video, we won't quite be at the point where this stuff is in there, but it'll be like days until it arrives there. Of course, we'll be moving that towards RTW sometime this summer. And so, the call to action here is, by all means, try that out. Try out our Cygwin, our MinGW stuff. And if you have Cygwin, whatever, we're not gonna play favorites. Or if you have another kind of thing, even if it's just you have some particularly weird environment, but you wanna try it out with OpenFolder and give us some feedback.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, we definitely wanna know.
And if you have a feature request, we wanna know that too. Usual stuff will work. You can yell at us at Reddit and at the alias that we provide. Okay, thanks everybody.